A reading from Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am,' has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I hope you witnessed our high schoolers laughing with joy that you were singing their song this morning. It is dangerous to stand at a pulpit and declare one's view on a culturally divisive issue, perhaps more so than ever when across the wide expanse of the world we seem so quick to anger. Nevertheless, I stand before you this morning and declare that I am a fan of Garrison Keillor. Yeah, that is in small part due to the fact that I once hosted a book signing for the radio show host and writer who showed up late because he had driven himself and he'd gone to the wrong location, but who wore his famous red tennis shoes and a suit that was as rumpled as his hair. And he was warm to every one of the more than 200 people who had waited restlessly for him as I passed out chocolates to calm their nerves. But my fondness is in larger part due to the wisdom that I find in his Lake Wobegon stories, which express both deep humanism and the wisdom of a generous Lutheran Christianity. One story that I heard on the radio years ago as I washed dishes in my kitchen concluded with this line. "Sometimes," Keillor said, "all you have to do is just get outside." I get outside very nearly every day since adopting my dog, Santiago, and we walk for up to an hour. When I come home, I list in a small 5-year diary the most wonderful things that we encountered. A fishing pier in the fog, a rock marking the 45th parallel, the wing of a hawk lying at the edge of a wood, a snapping turtle on the walking path, an old man sleeping in a recliner in his garage with a dog on his chest. Goldenrod stuffing in the wind beside railroad tracks. A transit bus with lights that blink, go Twins. A Mississippi River beach covered in snow. God is. Going out of doors physically facilitates taking temporary leave of one's mind. One's mind being a dubious place to reside. Shakespeare's Hamlet observes that there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And indeed, our thoughts about data breaches and hurricanes and racial animosity and whether our tax burdens will be high or low or we will be able to afford health care, about our political impotence and the possibility of war, along with all of the daily burdens of work and love, can make us as jittery as rabbits in the 100-acre wood, desperately striking out in the most logical direction, only to wind up again and again lost. Not infrequently, I send photos of Santiago out adventuring, nose to the earth, tail in the air, leash taut in an expression of eagerness to my friends. And one of those friends has developed an admiration for Santi because she writes, he wears life like a loose garment. He wears life like a loose garment. It is a delightful expression. And you may have noted the same character in your non-human companions. The utter absorption in the moment. The expectation that good things are ahead. The sense that life is protective and enhancing, that one can move easily within it. Dogs in particular, along with bears of very little brain, have the simplicity of the uncarved block, the Taoist virtue that Benjamin Hoffman ascribed to Winnie the Pooh. That spiritual quality is the antithesis to the mood and the slogan of the moment, which is resistance. Where justice and charity are not in evidence, resistance may be what God asks of us. But I prefer to approach peace-seeking another way, through the practice of radical acceptance. Moses shrinks from God's call to demand the freedom of the Israelites, saying, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And as the story continues, Moses whines at God. I'm not good at speaking. Please send someone else. Moses resists. He pushes against circumstance and against God. And he uses as an excuse his supposed shortcomings. His thinking that God's demand is too hard makes it so. Moses understands neither who he is nor who God is. But as he begins to move lightly within the garment that God has sewn for him, he becomes powerful. By accepting the radical idea that we are created in God's image to do God's work, we, like Moses, become capable of miracles, of holding back the waves of the sea, of delivering an enslaved people to a land that is sweet and plentiful. The Danish writer Isaac Dinesen describes this way of being in her short story, The Dreamers. It begins on a dhow sailing under a full moon along the coast of Zanzibar. A famous storyteller called Mira Jama, whose ears and nose have been cut off in some past suffering, explains, quote, that what particularly pleases me about dreams is this, that there the world creates itself. itself around me without any effort on my part. Unquote. When we fully inhabit and respect ourselves as creations of God, we let go of our egos. And fear, then, becomes something that is intense, but not frightening. We exist as we do in dreams, trusting that events that cause our hearts to pound will be resolved, and marveling at the beauty that surrounds us. In a moment of global cacophony, such as seems to now be piercing our eardrums, I feel an urgency to do something. And I am sure that each of you feels that same urgency. But like Moses, I am intimidated by my shortcomings and by the sense that I have no authority, that what I can do will change nothing. To resist means merely to wear myself out. And so my newspapers lie unread. A couple of weeks ago, I called Parkway UCC in North Minneapolis. I had a futon mattress and a frame that I wanted to get rid of. I asked if the church could use them in order to sweep the homeless people that they serve with families moving forward. Pastor Kathy Gibson said to me, well, we could, but we also have members who are living on the edge of homelessness who might want them. Let me put out the word. A week later, a man and his son came to my house and hauled away the futon and the frame and a rocking chair, too. They did not listen to me when I told them how to unfold the frame and carry it up the stairs, and after they left, there were two long gashes on the stairway wall. And I was happy. I was happy in a way that I have not been for a long time. By the grace of God, I had extra to give away. And I had listened to a man tell me about the apartment that he would be moving into, about how it was being coated with fresh paint, and about how his lady friend had been wondering what she was going to sit on when she visited. I had met lady friend out on my driveway, and she had approved of the feel of the futon cover, and I had witnessed the man's satisfaction in furnishing a home for himself and a person that he loved. And I stood as in a dream, allowing the world to present me with an opportunity to change someone's life a little bit. In one of A.A. Milne's stories, a blustery wind knocks down the house that Owl lives in. Afterwards, Rabbit passes around notices suggesting that all the forest animals help search for a new home for Owl. Eeyore, the depressive and largely antisocial donkey, takes earnestly to the task, and he presents Owl with a new habitation, which is Piglet's house. And then Milne writes, Piglet did a noble thing, and he did it in a sort of dream. Yes, it's just the house for Owl, he said grandly. This is real world stuff, this need to care for people whose homes have been blown down by the wind, or flooded by rains, or crumpled by tectonic shifts. Even if we are small, fearful animals, we are capable of grand gestures if we trust God to put us in the circumstances in which we have much to give. I close here with the confession that along with Garrison Keillor, I also like the depressive and largely antisocial Swedish filmmaker Ingmar Bergman. Bergman ends his film Fanny and Alexander with a toast given at a family dinner. So I close with his words, which echo the Bible's exhortation that Jesus will come like a thief in the night and that we should be ready. Quote, "The world is a den of thieves and night is falling. Evil breaks its chains and runs through the world like a mad dog. The poison affects us all. No one escapes. Therefore, let us be happy while we are happy. Let us be kind, generous, affectionate, and good. It is necessary and not at all shameful to take pleasure in the little world."